jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 16 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day, mate. School holidays, so enjoying life at the moment.
Yeah. Seeing you post some great photos of yourself celebrating James's birthday at Legoland today, so I'm very, very jealous of the day you've had. Sounds like a ripper. Hope you're enjoying your break, mate.
Definitely.
And we've got another fellow teacher joining us as a guest of the show. He's joined us previously and a veteran of the Supercoach Coach community and especially of our forums, welcoming Keffa back onto the show.
G'day, Marcus. G'day, Mark. It's good to be here again and, enjoying school holidays and looking after the little one as my wife's back at work. So ready to chat Supercoach Coach with you guys this evening.
We did put a call out to our listeners last week requesting that if anybody's keen on potentially joining the show to reach out. So we have Keffa lined up for this week and we are going to take the week to sort of collate and get back to those listeners that reached out to us. So if you're one of those and you haven't got a response yet, don't be disheartened. Very much appreciate you reaching out to potentially come onto the show. But it's great to have Keffa on for this show and hoping he can shed some great insight on Supercoach, but also an update on how you've gone so far this season, Keffa. So why don't we start with that, with a personal update. How's your season shaped up so far?
Yeah, it's been a funny one. I think I was about 60,000 after the round one. Then I got up as high as 962, I think it was. And then I dropped back. I had a couple of terrible weeks. Now I'm back at just outside the top 5,000. I've got 9 trades still left, money in the bank, and bench and whatnot are in decent shape. I've got Cruiser, who I think is a little bit of a pod in the ruck. I still think I can get up to I'm hopeful around the 2,000 mark. That's the plan, even higher if I can, but we'll see how we go. My side's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. I've still got an upgrade to make, though, but I don't have a couple of the problems that a couple of other people have got. I don't have Fife and I don't have Rockcliffe, so I feel like I'm doing okay.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah, there's definitely been a few premiums that have almost shut up shop mid-season and then it's definitely dragging Mark and myself down. So good to hear you're on the upward swing. We're definitely feeling a bit more of the pain the last few weeks, so good to have that different perspective on the show. How did you score this last week, Keffa?
But so it's 2,345, and that was with Zach Williams and Toby Green both out. Maybe not so much Green, but I think Zach Williams is a bit of a pod down back. So I had to have, I think it was Luke Ryan step in and, you know, he gave a 65. So, and then up forward, I think I had to have, I actually brought in Brennan Cox instead of Green. So, you know, I probably scored 110 points there. Whereas if Green and Williams played, they might have got me closer to 200. But look, that's life, isn't it? It's hard to get your best team on the park every week, just as it is in the real deal.
Interestingly enough, Keffa, I'm not sure whether you realise this, but we played each other in the Supercoach Coach Aces League on the weekend, which is the fifth league in the country.
You got me by a point.
That's it, 1 point, which is crazy hilarious and you've come onto the show this week. So I scored 23-46 and just bested you in that league, which I'll definitely take.
1 point, eh?
I made 2 trades for the week, trading out Dane Beams for Marcus Bontempelli, which was a disappointing first week in my team, but it's hard to pass up on that 518,000 value. And I had him for a hot finish last year, so I was tempted on him. Passing up on Cripps, who was the alternate at that price point, really stung after just 1 week. My second trade was to actually generate a bit of cash in bank because I'm looking to do 2 trades again this week, bringing in Gorn and a midfield premium as well. So I did Scooter down to Alex Witherden, and because Toby Green was a late out, I actually used Witherden's score on field, so his 91 came in quite handy. Overall, the team had some underperformers in it, some of the pods not quite firing as well, and some of the midfield premiums letting me down, so Fife and Rockcliffe. Yeah, a bit of a mixed weekend, but I'm happy to get out of the weekend still ranked in the top 1,500. Can't be too upset about that. Mark, how'd you go? Did you best us?
So, no, I definitely didn't best you, mate. I think I was about 70 points behind with 2281. Had a similar problem with premiums missing. Salwood out, Green out, Scott Salwood out meant that I had to play Ryan, Powell Pepper, and Greenwood on the ground. The biggest problem for my team was that even in a fully upgraded team, I had seven people score 100 or above. So just heaps of premiums, just not getting it done. And I'm ranked pretty close to 2,000 now.
Not too far away. I know last week, Mark, you were pretty excited about closing the gap between the two of us. So I'm definitely...
I think I'm about 80 points behind. So that's very, very manageable.
Yeah. I'm definitely happy to put a bit more distance between the two of us because I've had the chockies for most of the year so far. So see if I can hang on in the finish, Mark. All right, let's go to a quick group update. The top score in our group this week was Steven's massive scorgasm, which is a pretty appropriate term for his massive score on the weekend of 2547 above 2500. We had four individuals in our Supercoach Coach group actually hit the 2500 mark. So congratulations to all those individuals, but particularly to Stephen, who top scored, and that pushed him up above the both of us mark into 1125th. So it's a big result there. In terms of the overall leader, that's still Kyle's Tyrannosaurus Tex, who's ranked third overall. So congrats to Kyle for still keeping that up. That's a big effort. And we still have six individuals sitting in the top 20 of Supercoach overall. So that's a massive accomplishment to those guys. To a league update, we're facing a little bit of threat for the number one league now. Zermichael's comp, who's been right up with us for most of the season, has
pushed... And we still have no idea who they are.
Yeah, we have no idea who they are, but they've pushed themselves up to second now overall, which is a bit of a threat to our overall lead. And FF Platinum, they've moved up into fourth as well. But we still own 15 of the top 20 leagues, so we've got a fair few irons in the fire, Mark. I think we can still be optimistic, although our opposition did certainly gain some ground on us over the week. In terms of a rundown this week, we don't have a huge amount to cover. What we will be focusing on, a couple of rookies, Witherden and Sean Darcy, and also looking to some premiums who people are considering trading in. Max Gawn obviously tops that list, but we've got Paddy Cripps, who's looking like he might be a contender for even sort of top scorer in the second half of the season, the way he's trending at the moment. So we'll talk about him for the run home. And we'll also talk about overall trade numbers. So I reckon 30-40% of the questions that we got this week were in relation to how many trades we should have left now that our teams are fully premium. So it sounds like most of us have been tracking according to our show notes the last few weeks in terms of completing our team, putting the finishing touches in that. And so it seems that this week we've progressed to, well, how many trades should we have left and how to best use those trades for the run home. So let's get straight into the show, no more delay. And we'll start off with this first question here from Robert Bobby Gain. What to do with Scooter Selwood? Mark, are you still holding Scooter and what are your tentative plans with him?
Yeah, I did have to hold Scooter for that extra week because I just wanted to get another look at Witherden. Everyone can have a good one game, but Witherden definitely backed it up with the second one. I think that the thing that worried me about Scooter from pretty early on was that his three tons all came at the Cattery. And I think they don't play there again until about round 21, so, or round 20. So that worries me a little bit. He has also, like, he hasn't played more than 12 games in a season since 2013. So the fact that he's continuing to struggle with further injuries is definitely a worry, coming off 44 and 72. Look, if he gets his body right, he could go back to scoring some pretty decent scores, but it's hard to justify carrying that much cash on your bench, I think, at this stage. So despite the promise that he showed at different points, I think it is time to get rid of him.
And it just goes to show you how hard it is to really profit off mid-prices mid-season. And it really does sort of exemplify the risk involved in paying that amount for a bloke that you don't really want to keep for the entirety of the season mid-season. Because once they get into this state where they're sort of ebbing and flowing in price and missing games here or there, you're really sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Kefa, do you have Scooter Selwood? Did you trade him in? Are you dealing with
Scoundrel? No, I didn't. I never did. I'm just looking at him now, and I'm really surprised to see that he's only gone up 89 grand. I actually thought he was going a lot better than that. Just too injury prone, I think, and way too much money to have sitting on the bench. Do we know how long he's out for?
He's listed as a test.
Well, look, if he's got a great break even and he plays this week, I think you'd give him another shot, wouldn't you? But
break even 105.
105? No, I think it's time to go.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I'd agree with that. By the sounds of things, Mark, you only kept him for an extra week to assess Witherden, but that was your sort of trade move anyway. So with Witherden on the bubble this week as a DM, presenting exceptionally good value, it seems like an opportune time to either downgrade Scott to leave yourself with a bit of bank to fund future upgrades or future side swaps, or potentially to complete your last upgrade or to put your first sort of premium emergency into your team.
Yeah, it'll be an upgrade for me. I've got one more spot on field that I need to upgrade, which is Power Pepper. And I think that the main reason I was worried about Witherden was that I didn't want to expose my mid-bench too much because I've already got Cousins and Hibbard there, and I didn't want to bring in an extra player that's just not going to play. And so now that Witherden's shown a fair bit of promise, he looked really good on the weekend, I'm a bit more comfortable ditching Scooter.
I did exactly the same. I had Stewart down back, and I could have traded Stewart to Witherden, but yeah, I just wanted to have one more look at Witherden too. As it turned out, you could have jumped on early, but I don't think it's wise to jump on a player after only one game, especially a guy we know nothing about, and feel much more comfortable taking him this week. Although, look, if you did jump on him a week early, good luck to you. It's paid off this time. But as a rule, I think it's wiser to just sit and wait and watch a player for a second time.
Yep, definitely agree with that. I've played it a bit
only, only rookie super coaches like Marcus would jump on a week early.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. And in general, I would agree with that criticism. All right, we'll move to this next question here from Shannon Swan. So what is FB Donkey doing with the Scott Powell Pepper Selwood M8 conundrum? Because he's in the same spot. So it sounds like you're dealing with it this week, Mark. That'll be your final upgrade. Are you trading both out?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'd love to keep Power Pepper, to be honest, as that bench cover spot as well as Witherden. But with people like Cousins, they're just not being worth anything. And even Ryan and Scherenberg not actually being worth enough money to get me that upgrade. I think that those two have to go to make the upgrade. I might end up with a little bit of extra cash left over, hopefully, because just to preface what the rest of the show is going to be about, I'll be bringing in Maxi Gorn this week for Power Pepper and moving a mid forward into the mids from my forward line.
All right, let's move on to have a quick chat about the rookies then. I think it's apt because we've been spending the last couple of minutes referencing Witherden, and he's definitely right up there in terms of top topics for the week. He was brought into 26,000 teams off the only one game last week, and I suspect he's going to be in a bunch more after this week. 76 and 91, his first two. He's a back mid DPP flexible player, so anyone that still has Hibbard, it has an extra element of attractiveness there because you could pivot a couple of rookies in that position. Even if you have Taylor Adams type, being able to potentially use
Lloyd.
Being able to Perryman, I think it
Barry.
Yeah, it's quite a tempting option to sort of complete your pivot. Notably as well, in his last season as a junior footballer, he was seriously impacted by injury and really didn't get to show his wares. So even though he's a second round draft pick, you could consider him a little bit of a steal as well. And as a backline player, he's quite well known for being able to rack up the pill. So I think all those things seem to have translated to a good Supercoach output for the first 2 weeks, and we're certainly hoping that continues moving forward.
Yeah, the other side of that coin is that I think he's already missed about 4 weeks through an injury this year. Unfortunately, he is a really, really obvious pick that I think almost everyone will bring in, but has a pretty strong injury history. And normally that means that he's going to struggle to play out the year.
Hopefully. Now that
we're all optimistic at this stage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. And now that Hibbard's back in between the two of them, one of them will be playing for our team each week. For those guys who are not looking at a downgrade this week, but still have, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 trades left, I would still probably take Witherden this week and try and downgrade somewhere, because it's hard to find a good downgrade target. When you are able to find one, I think it's valid to bank the cash a little bit earlier, even if you aren't going to use it this week, just to give yourself flexibility.
Absolutely. You got to take these guys when they come along.
The next question here we have is from Bryce Mitchell. Is Sean Darcy a legit trade-in option? Will he play out the season, or is he legitimate as a quick cash grab or as ruck cover? Have you watched much of him play so far, Keffer?
No, I haven't, but I'm well aware of his numbers and I can see the temptation. He just doesn't work for my team. I don't have a spot really to give. If I had somebody sitting on the bench who was worth $300,000 and just withering away, I'd do the cash out, but I don't. I'm not prepared to play him on field because I don't want to give up those points. So you might make you some cash, but you put him on the field, you're probably going to give up a truckload of points every week to everybody else. And therefore, I think I just feel like you're running around in circles if you try and pick this guy up, because you might make some cash and then you're just going to lose points. The likelihood of him keeping up with the better ruckman, Cruiser, Goldstein, Steph Martin, Witz, Nankervis, seems pretty unlikely to me. So good luck if you want to take him, but not for me.
I think that's a really good point, and it's just the wrong time of the season. If it was around 6, 7, or 8, maybe, where you could bring him on, use his cash generation, and you're going to have rookies on your field anyway, so he's just like sort of replacing another rookie, then that might make a bit of sense. But if you're bringing him onto your field, really he's there instead of a premium, which makes it really hard to justify. And like you said, like, I'm not willing to trade my ruck forward bench option just to get a bit of extra cover in the ruck. I'd rather have the link there with Trandika. So there's not many situations where it makes sense to bring him in. I think maybe if you've still got Proust sitting on the bench, that might be a good one, but I don't think there'd be too many out there that would.
Yeah, I agree with that. Does not suit most team structures at this point in the season. So we're going to move past the rookies now. I think with Witherden on the bubble, people are unlikely to need a couple of downgrade options, so that probably should suffice the downgrade considerations for the week. We'll move on to talking about premiums now, and as previously referenced by Mark, the key topic for the week is obviously Maxi Gawn. He's come back for a couple of weeks now, and that means that his poor score when he got injured and scored 27 in round 3 has had a couple of rounds to affect his price. I think he's dropped close to 90,000 in those couple of weeks and is now priced at 510,000. So a very good get. And considering his first two games back, he scored 113 and 96. I think most of us are quite optimistic that he will retain such positive scoring and be a top scorer on the run home and therefore must have. I think it's a little bit tricky at this point in the season to be trading in Gawn, though, because most of us at this point have a couple of premium rocks in play. I have some combination of Witt, Sanderlands, Nanker, this Ryder potentially. And so in bringing in Gawn, you're either trading out an established ruckman or you're trading in an extra premium on field and potentially moving a guy like Nankervis to the F9 position where he can cover multiple lines. So thoughts on bringing in Gawn this week? Are you looking at that, Kefa? I know Mark sounds quite keen. Have you been considering that?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Like, I feel like I've got some extra trades and my list is in pretty good shape. I think it's Supercoach 101, really, to bring in a guy like Gawn when he gets as low as 510. I think he started the season at 600-plus for a reason. He was incredibly good last year. I think we've probably forgotten about that because it seems so long ago now, but really it wasn't. For him, that was only 5 or 6 games ago. He's barely played any footy. We know that. I've got Witz at R2. Am I that excited about Witz? No, I'm not. He's done an incredible job and he just keeps churning out acceptable scores. But surely the aim is to go for the guy who's got the massive upside. And that's Gawn. There are only $40,000 difference now between Witz and Gawn's.
So that takes us quite nicely to this question here from T-Mac or at Big Sexy Macca on Twitter. Do we move Witz to Gawn just because it's logical? Because 8 weeks at, you know, plus 10 points only lets us 80, and Gold Coast Rucks have a good draw on the run home. So, I mean, I think plus 10 is probably a little bit pessimistic in terms of the amount of gain that you can get from Gawn, understanding that Witz is currently averaging pretty much 95, and Gawn, because of his injury-affected games, also just averaging 95. But I would assume that 105 is the basement for Gawn, and 110, 115 plus would be more what you'd be hoping for. So maybe 15 points at 8 weeks becomes a little bit more attractive at 120 points. But even then, it's pretty marginal. Mark, would you be concerned about that?
If you're bringing him in and you're going to make the trade, you would assume that it's at least 15 points and that Gawn's going to average at least 110 to 95 for the rest of the season, which the probability says that that's minimal expectations, really. And the Gawn could, as long as he doesn't get injured, could go 30 points better than Witz on the run home, potentially.
That's right.
And then all of a sudden it becomes a huge win as a trade. I think at this point of the season, if you're getting around that 150 points for an upgrade with your trades, it's a pretty good deal. It depends how many you've got left. If you're sort of down in the 3 or 4 range, then I wouldn't be doing that, because the situation could occur where you end up missing a premium for several weeks and it costs you hundreds and hundreds of points. I do think that Gawn is just watching him, like the eye test, he has definitely passed that. He's picking up ground balls. I've got Ryder in my team and I've watched him be in the ruck all season, and he's great jumping over players, but as soon as the ball hits the ground, he literally just stands there and watches. Whereas Gorn gets on his hands and knees, gets dirty and picks the ball up and he takes contested marks. And yeah, his upside is very, very high. So for 500,000, that seems very desirable to me. And the thing with what you were saying before about upgrading forwards or ruckman, Marcus, in my team, because of all the DPP setups, I can actually bring in, like, trade a midfielder to Gorn. So there's a fair bit of flexibility there.
All right, this next question is from Edward Vukovic on Twitter, or at Rudiger Jones. Is Parker a good sneaky bargain premium? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts, Kefa. I think most of our listeners know where Mark and I, myself sit on Sydney midfield premiums, but even though Parker's only averaged 96 for the season so far, if I can read his scores out after the bye, 108, 104, 104, and 129. So that's clearly got some coaches licking their lips. Kefa, are you one of those coaches?
Oh, no, I'm not, just because I find him hard to catch. I mean, you look at his scores. He's had four scores over 100, but 108, 104, and 104, they're not that good. Personally, I'm looking for a guy who can give me more than that. Like, I'm looking for a guy with massive upside. Does Parker have it? He's played 14 games this year. His best score was on the weekend, 129. He's a no for me. It depends who else you've got. If you don't have someone like Dusty Martin in your team, I'd be prioritising Dusty over Luke Parker. Dusty owns that midfield and he's going to finish probably second in the Brownlow to Dangerfield, I reckon. Parker's going to bob up and give you some good scores, but I would not be surprised if he bobbed right back down the next week and gave you an 80 or a 90. He's just that kind of player. Do I think he's in the A-plus category of Supercoach midfielders? No, I think he's in that next tier down, and they're harder to catch, those guys. And I think you should be trying to fill your team with as many absolute uber premiums as you can. That's just my opinion. But look, the price is right for him. He is priced quite juicily. But if you had the cash, I'd be going after someone like a Dusty if you don't already have him.
Look, I think that it all comes down to your perspective on his injury. I'm pretty sure that he was carrying an injury up until the bye. And even with last year, like when he's not injured or not carrying an injury during games, his scoring capacity is amazing. And we saw 2 weeks ago, he scored 75 in the first half against the Bombers and then really dropped off to post just over 100. But on the weekend, he sort of kept going to that 129 and is taking on a prominent role in that midfield with Hannabury just dropping back in his scoring the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, I think that they can be very up and down, those Sydney mids. And Kefa's point about being hard to catch is right. His form the last couple of weeks, he, again, with the eye test, he's definitely passed the eye test the last 2 weeks.
Patrick Cripps, like Parker, he's had injury concerns in the front half of the season, and you definitely expect him to continue building into the season, and not only that, continue to keep improving as an emerging midfielder. Last year, he finished the season off with a bang, and this year, he's certainly trending that way. His last three scores, 114, 134, and 126. Is he a bloke that you're potentially a little bit more scared about not having, Kefa?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'd take Cripps over Parker any day for exactly that reason that you've just described. Yeah, I mean, you look at his last three, 114, 134, 126, much more attractive than Parker for only an extra 40 grand. I'd be much more inclined. And he's got those bigger scores. You know, he had 157 earlier in the year as well. So both could improve on their current average. The only reason I think you'd take Parker at the moment over Cripps is because he's 40 grand cheaper. But I think if money were no issue, I'd take Cripps.
All right, let's move off trade targets now and onto how many trades we should have left. We got a lot of questions about this. I'm expecting it probably isn't a really prolonged answer in terms of what our response will be, and that tends to be the reason why we don't sort of address it week to week, is that it's a bit weird doing a trade count each week. Every team's sort of different, but and every person's objectives are slightly different, but we'll answer these questions because there was just an overwhelming number this week. The first question here is from Cameron McKenzie. Assuming our team is full premium, how many trades should we have spare at this point of the year for injuries? So at this point, I am actually with 9 trades, but I'm 1 trade off full premium. So Nick Newman is my last remaining non-premium as such. And I'm missing 1 premium midfielder. So that's sort of where I'm at. Mark, where are you sitting?
Yeah, I got 9 as well, but I'll be double trading this week to bring in that last premium spot. So down to 7 after this week. I think that's probably 1 or 2 more than I would think is about the right amount to have left. So it's completely unpredictable. And about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, you would have needed 12 trades at this point of the year to have any chance of holding your team together. But last year, you could have only had two or three and you would have been fine. So it's really season dependent. Maybe the post round 23 bye, maybe the fact that the season's so competitive and so many teams are still in it will help keep players onto the field. But yeah, there's no right answer, but about five or more with a fully upgraded team seems about right.
Kaffa, how about you? What shape are your trade numbers in?
Yeah, I'm the same as you guys. I've got nine and I'll double trade this week. That'll give me seven trades for the last 7 weeks. It all depends on your appetite for risk. It depends on your objectives, whether that's league or just to get the highest ranking. I'm fairly comfortable, you know, even running out of trades with 1 or 2 weeks to go if I'm looking at a higher ranking and I'm looking at and my bench is in reasonable shape. Believe it or not, contrary to popular opinion, one donut at the end of the season is not going to destroy your entire season. Mm-hmm. One donut at the end of the season is no, you know, it's no better or worse than a donut at any other time.
In fact,
yeah, we get a little bit.
I would argue that a step further and say, if in only one of every five seasons you are going to be punished and your punishment is one donut on field, then you should definitely push the limits in the remaining four out of five seasons because you won't get punished in those seasons. And when you do, it's not even that bad.
Yeah, I think so. It's just that one. It's just when you do have that one season and you get punished, you tend to be a bit scarred by it, and then you sort of make a promise to yourself that you'll hang on to your trades next year. And then, as Murphy's Law, you end up not needing it, and then you kind of, you know, it's confusing because nobody has a crystal ball and nobody knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. For my own personal situation, I had 11 trades heading into last round, and I did not need to make the Witherden trade last week, but I was at a point where if I didn't make the Scooter to Witherden trade last week, I couldn't double trade this week. And so I'd only make one trade last week, one trade this week, and I'd have nine trades left with 7 rounds to go. So I decided to trade last week, even though I didn't really need to, so that I could double trade again this week. So I'll be down to 7 trades left and have 7 rounds to go with 7 trades left and a fairly comfortable bench with one premium on it. So at this stage of the season, five or more trades is really all you need if you're really pushing that overall ranking. I think things are slightly different if we're talking about league ranking, which is the question I want to finish off with for this round. This is Joel Miranda's question. How many trades is a good number to have if you have all premiums on field, but you're only interested in winning your cash league? Kefa, do you play in cash leagues? Do you have a position on this?
Yes, I do. I am in a cash league with you guys. Yep. yeah, look, it's a little bit different. I think you want to – well, actually, that can depend as well. You might need to bust your gut. If you're sitting 8th or 9th or 10th and you're only just hanging in there, you're going to have to burn them to try and make the finals, aren't you? Whereas if you're sitting pretty and you know you're going to finish in the top four, I think you can probably hang on to your trades and play a little bit more safely. So I think it really does depend on each team. I do think the bye after round 23 probably, in all likelihood, means that it's less likely for us to see massive carnage in the last week or two. There's a lot of teams in contention for the eight who I don't think can afford to rest players willy-nilly. There's so many teams still in contention. Gee, even Nathan Buckley thinks that he's kidding himself, isn't he? But he thinks the Pies are still in contention. I suppose he has to say that. It'd be nice to have one trade up your sleeve per week. I think if you could have four for the last 4 weeks, you'd feel pretty good about yourself. But whether or not you're in a strong enough position to be able to do that, who knows?
We are in a very competitive cash league, Kefa. I think I was a game clear on top 4 weeks ago, and I've lost three of the last four by less than 10 points. And the other one because Selwood went down in the first couple of minutes, so dropped down to six. So in that situation, I need to be trading harder because I've just got to trade to make the finals. I can't be really sitting on my hands and just saving trades. That top four finish is just so valuable in a league situation. But I think you're right. My philosophy has always been if you can make the last 4 weeks with four trades, that's a good situation to be in. If you got five, that's an even better situation in a competitive league.
And I think your focus should probably be on retaining as many trades as you can for that last four rounds because, Mark, as you just referenced, our league has been so competitive that I believe in the last 2 years, the winner of our league has actually come from the 5th to 8th band instead of the top four. So to an extent, you want to get yourself into finals because you're not in a position to win it if you're outside of there, but you don't want to go too hard because it's that important to have the trades during the final series as well. So
as soon as I'm sitting sixth and you guys are sitting fifth and eighth, I would recommend that you guys go down to as low a trade as possible, really.
Well, I've always relied upon being the top overall scorer in that league, and it's not happening this year, so I think I might have to go extra full tilt on the league prize and see how we go there. All right, I think that's enough for this week's show. Let's move on to the Captain's Corner to wrap up the week. Mark, have you thought at all about who you might run with this week?
Danger? Is he like, he's the new Perma Captain. Results over the last 5 weeks have just been insane. And my mate Nate, who has been a long-term listener of the show, he had Doherty with the VC and ended up taking Danger's captain anyway, but just so many risks involved with not VCing Danger.
Yeah, and I think if you are going to VC Doherty and not take a 122, to an extent, like, you might as well do all you can to VC Danger. So that's what I'm going to be trying to do this week. I think because North are playing on Sunday, hopefully I'll be able to get a non-playing player then. I've got Josh Williams, who hasn't played a single game for North, so I'll be using him. North play Fremantle in that 110 game, so anyone with Stranadica would be able to use him as a loophole player as well.
If I was Kef, I'd be thinking maybe Cruz, but in my situation, I might be like Maxi Gorn on debut with the captain's armband if I have to.
Yeah, the options are a little bit thin, but look, the likely reality is that Danger will serve up something that's, anything. I'd even take 115, probably 120 from Danger. Yeah, trying to back people, trying to guess at who's going to beat Danger, it's too hard. Take him as VC if you can, absolutely.
All right, so I think that's it for this week's show. I do want to say a massive thank you for Kefa for joining us. It's been great to have you on, Kef, the couple of times.
No worries, thanks for having us. Good luck to everyone for the rest of their season. And then whether you're fighting for a league spot or just fighting for your overall ranking, good luck to everyone. And I'll talk to you again soon, guys.
Well done to Kef for bringing a positive attitude. I know he's a Bombers fan, and it's been a tough couple of weeks.
All right. And with that, we'll sign off and we'll catch you again next week. See ya.
See ya.
Bye-bye.